Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. We are here with Mike Ross. Mike is an instructor in Wichita State's sport management program. He is also the media coordinator for the NCAA first and second round men's basketball tournament games that are coming to Intrust Bank Arena. That's March 15th and 17th. So we're going to talk with Mike for a few minutes about how he is setting up for that event, what his responsibilities are. Let's get right to it. How are you, Mike?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. We're broadcasting here from the Larry Rankin Podcast Studios. So, yeah, well, shout out to Larry. Okay, it's 2014, Wichita, to much relief among the populace who voted for the downtown arena. They get these NCAA sites. It's coming in 2018. When did you jump on board? When did you start work organizing for this event?
Well, the tournament manager, Brad Pittman, asked in the bid process if I would be willing to be the media coordinator. And so I agreed to that. So once we got the bid and it was announced, there was a year there where we just kind of began thinking about all of the things that we needed to think about in the future as we prepared for the tournament. So the first year was just kind of a lot of meetings, task force, that type of thing. And then here over the last couple of years, it's really kind of ratcheted up, and now here we are just a few weeks away, and it's crazy.
Give us a summary of your responsibilities.
Well, the media coordinator deals with everything media related. So I am dealing with all of the media that will be coming both locally, regionally, and nationally. We'll be dealing with all of the media that travels with the teams that are selected for this site. And that includes television, radio, internet writers, and other folks that are coming to cover the tournament. That's pretty much my area, being able to take care of that. And that includes, you know, everything from CBS, TNT, Turner CBS, I think is the appropriate way that the NCAA refers to it, all the way down to statistics. For the games themselves and how those are disseminated back to the NCAA office, and really and truly just about everything in between. So court setup won't necessarily be in my realm, but the things that are going on the court will be. And pretty much everything that's backstage is kind of in our area as well.
So as far as credentials for, you know, the TV, the writers, those kind of things, how much of that is predetermined, people are already applying? How much of that will be determined by the eight teams that are sent here?
It's probably about 25% predetermined and 75% determined by the teams. So way back in December, we opened up the local credential portal for local media to begin applying. So things like your local TV stations, the Wichita Eagle, and those folks have the opportunity to go ahead and apply. And then since then, that has opened up to national media. And so we've gotten a couple of national media requests. Got one from ESPN International yesterday and one from USA Today today. So those are beginning to pour in. That portal closes on March 1st. So we'll have all of our local people in the system and credentialed by March 1st. And then once we know the teams that are coming, on Selection Sunday night, they'll get an email from me with information on how to get their team media plugged in. So that's all of their local TVs, newspapers, folks that would be traveling to Wichita to cover the tournament. And then they have until the day after Selection Sunday, so 5 p.m. on that Monday evening, to get all of their team media lists done. So the bulk of our request will probably come in at that point, and we'll have a good idea as to how many are coming by 5 p.m. on Monday.
What are you spending the most time on? What are your biggest responsibilities at this point?
You know, I think we joked that it's a lot of emails and a lot of communication going back and forth. I feel like I ask a lot of questions of the NCAA staff at this point. So I feel like I'm firing off more emails than I've ever sent in my entire life. But really it is just gathering more knowledge of the things that are going to take place, things like schedule, when are press conferences going to be, when do my volunteers need to be in place so that those run smoothly. There are meetings that I've got to prepare for. So there's a meeting that we'll have on the morning of practice day with just the SIDs of the teams that are coming. And then I'll go from that meeting to a production meeting with Turner CBS. And then I'll go from that meeting to another meeting, which is the actual pre-tournament meeting where coaches and athletic directors and those folks are all involved. So while all of these things are going on and practices and interviews and stuff are going on, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes meetings that I've got to attend. So I feel like I'm going to a lot of meetings, exchanging a lot of emails, and answering a lot of questions. So we get plenty of folks that are applying for credentials. You know, where's the best place to park? How do I get my credential? Where's the media hotel? You know, do you think some one particular team could possibly be thrown here? And so I think a lot of it's just answering questions and kind of putting out fires while also knowing that the games themselves are coming and we're going to have to be able to have that covered as well.
You were the media coordinator for the women's NCAA tournament games that came to Intrust Bank Arena in 2011. How's that experience helping you now?
Not a lot, honestly, because it's a completely different animal. The women's tournament required us to handle a lot of technical aspects, so getting the games recorded and getting those out to team managers, that type of a thing. Handling all of the recording of press conferences and that type of stuff. And that's not happening now. The NCAA provides people that do that for us so that we're able to focus on some of the other things. So all of the press conferences will be transcribed, and they send those folks here so we don't have to worry about that. All of the press conferences are shown live on closed circuit television, so we don't have to worry about recording of those, that type of thing. And of course, the games differ too, because you've got men's rules and women's rules, and you know, especially right now with the women playing quarters and the men halves, and so there's a lot of differences there that that didn't necessarily prepare us for this. I think what it did do is it allowed us to get a taste of what having several teams come into that arena and be on that stage. It's a different stage. It's not necessarily bigger or smaller. It's just different. How we handle things backstage is done differently. The women's tournament used zones. So zone number one, you can go here, you can't go there. That's not in effect for the men. So it's more of an all-access type event for the men's tournament. So I think just from an experience standpoint of postseason basketball and what that's like, it probably helped us. But there's so many differences that I don't know that it's necessarily I don't think we can go back to 2011 and say, okay, this worked, this didn't, because it's just a completely different animal.
When you were working in 2011, did you and the other people have a sense that, boy, it's really helpful if this goes well because we are proving ourselves for tournaments down the road?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. That was really the focus of having the women's tournament, was hopefully the folks from the NCAA come and see this and other teams come to Wichita, and we drew well enough attendance-wise. I think that helped. And I think that'll be the case again with the men's tournament. I think we'll draw really well attendance-wise. But, yeah, I think that there was some looking into the future of hoping that the day came where the men's tournament would be here, and now it is.
All right, you will be dealing with a lot of different groups.
Oh.
Kind of the
yes.
Cranky, bitter sports writers, those people, hard to deal with, very hard to deal with.
Yeah.
You've got the electronic media, you've got the Turner CBS rights holders, photographers, video people, all these different people. Who do you spend the most time dealing with?
That's a good question, because I think it's probably spread fairly evenly. I think a lot of my time right now is being spent with our local media, kind of preparing them for the things that they can't do inside the arena or outside of the arena, you know, where they're going to park their satellite trucks, that type of thing. I think beginning next week, That focus is going to change from me to my volunteers and preparing them, you know, how do you get in the building, that type of a thing. You know, none of these credentials can be mailed out or anything, so it's all pickup. You've got to have a government-issued ID and things like that. So it's going to vary, I think. I think once we get to the games, my role will probably kind of evolve into dealing with things as they come up, whether that's an issue with Turner CBS and making sure that the game clock gets started correctly based upon their truck time as opposed to the arena clock time, you know, little details like that. I think my role will evolve a little bit more to be dealing with the NCAA staff at that point that's here, as opposed to some of the technical issues. But I think it's gonna change. Right now, it's one way, and I think by the time we get the games going, it could be something completely different.
Do you have a ballpark figure on how many credentials you will end up handing out?
Well, we've got 400 media credentials, and I would venture to guess that we'll probably be pretty close to issuing all of them. Now, there are other credential types, so we've got, obviously, Turner CBS is not included in that. They get their own set of credentials for their television compound, and then you've got photographers that are completely different than that. They're on their own credential system, and you've got other folks that are doing other things, folks that are with the satellite trucks there that'll be parked out in front of the arena. So it may very well go beyond that 400, but that's just the number of media credentials in general that we were sent. So if we were going above 400, we're going to have to make a mad dash to get some more, I guess. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No. How much time do you think you'll get to hang out with Jim Nance or Grant Hill or Doug Gottlieb, any of the CBS types?
Very little. I'm looking forward to hanging out with the Turner CBS producers and directors that are going to be calling those shots, because I think that's a little more my speed, the behind-the-scenes stuff. But I can't wait to see who they're going to send here. You know, I've got some personal favorites. I love Kevin Harlan. I think he's fantastic. Jim Nance, obviously, is great. But I won't deal with that quite as much as I will the behind-the-scenes stuff and the production element of it. Where they're sitting, that kind of thing.
Right. Kevin Harlan would be a natural, I guess, living in Kansas City, and especially if they send the University of Kansas here, that would make some sense.
He is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
so
he does.
If I were doing a personal thing, I'd be okay if he was one that was sent here.
There was a group of around 8 people, including yourself, and Wichita State's Brad Pittman, who is the tournament manager. You went down to Tulsa last March to observe their first and second rounds. What did you learn from that experience?
Quite a bit. Just simply from the standpoint that my experience with men's basketball tournaments are fairly limited. You know, when I was on the athletics side of things, I dealt with women's basketball. So going to men's tournaments was not something that I did a whole lot. So ultimately, everything that they had set up there and everything that they were doing, we were watching. You know, I was taking pictures. I think I probably broke my camera phone to the point that, you know, there's nothing else I can put on it with all the pictures that we took. It was good to see it up close and set up. Obviously, a lot of that isn't translated through TV as you watch the tournament games and all the backstage areas and everything. And I think it was good for us just to kind of see how that big of an event is really run from start to finish. We were allowed to be in all the meetings, and so that was helpful. And it was really just about being there and learning all the things that were going on and very little watching games. I think I probably sat down maybe 10 minutes the entire time we were down there and actually watched a game. And that was really more so that I could see how their messenger crew was disseminating stats back and forth across the court as opposed to paying attention to the game. I'm not even sure I can remember all the teams that were there, honestly. It was really good to learn from the backstage element, but far less about what was going on the floor.
There really is a lot of synchronization and timing and stage management that goes on to a big event like that doesn't affect the games, but mm-hmm. is still very crucial to the whole event running the way that the people want it to. So fans who have tickets to these games are going to walk into Interest Bank Arena. What will it look like? Will the configuration be different than maybe what they see when Wichita State plays down there, or if they go to a Thunder game? Obviously there won't be any ice down, but will there be ice?
I think there will be ice underneath.
Okay, so wear two pairs of socks if you're sitting down there on the bottom. How does the arena configuration change for an NCAA tournament game?
I don't know that the arena configuration itself changes all that much. It changes from a behind-the-scenes perspective, I think. You'll see more media sitting down on the floor than you would for a Shocker game down there. There are designated areas for teams and their fans to sit in, as opposed to just, you know, sit wherever you want. Or, you know, everybody's got their tickets printed, but now there's groups that are sitting in blocks. That type of thing. We've got upper media areas that we have to take care of, so the camera platform where Turner CBS will be shooting down onto the court, and then across the way there we'll have other photo folks that are there that don't have designated spots on the floor. I think just from a perspective of what folks will see on TV, photo boxes are probably the biggest difference. So we'll go down with some painter's tape and tape off 23-inch areas for a photographer to sit in. And so there's two rows of that on each side. You'll see the band pits for each team, so they'll be behind the goals. It'll be a different experience because you've got all of these other teams that are here as opposed to just WSU. But when it all boils down and when we actually get going, it's still a basketball game. So I don't know that there's going to be a lot of difference from that regard.
How many volunteers are you using, and how did you go about getting these recruits?
Oh, geez. I think the last time that I looked, my list was somewhere up around 60. And so those are folks that are directly under me that will be helping with the media side, and that's it. I know Brad's got several as well. He's probably got a group that is that big, if not bigger. And then there are other folks as well at the hotels from Visit Wichita. All of those folks, I mean, you said it earlier, it takes a village. It really does. This is a village project, and it's going to take a lot of people in order to pull it off. But just from our standpoint, the media team itself, we'll probably have about 60 to 70 folks at any one point in time throughout the tournament.
I know you're bringing in Missouri Valley Conference favorite Mike Mahon to help moderate the interviews. That's a kind of a specialized job you need some expertise in. How many people like Mike did you bring in, maybe from a Missouri Valley Conference ties or someone you knew that really needed experience in some area?
I'd say probably close to a quarter of our team. So we've got some folks that have worked NCAA tournaments before. I was lucky enough to meet some folks in Tulsa last year that had some interest in coming up and helping. And so that'll be really good for me from that perspective of having some folks that have worked tournaments before. And, you know, with this rotation with Tulsa and Wichita and Omaha kind of beginning to set itself up, and Kansas City too, but it really, I think, kind of puts a corridor of people that you can draw from here that you can bring in, and hopefully that's reciprocated where we can go down and help out Tulsa in years where we're not hosting and they are. But it's about a quarter of our team that are coming from out of town. We're bringing in a stat crew as opposed to using the same folks that do statistics for WSU's games. And trying to think of some of the other folks that we're bringing in from out of town. Folks that will be dealing with photographers, that'll be a big one. They'll be coming in from out of town. And then the NCAA sends quite a few folks from out of town, too, to kind of help with some of the backstage areas.
You described your job as customer service for the media members, the credentialed people. Plus, you have all the, you know, the coaches, the athletes, the administrators from the different universities that are here. Why is customer service? Why do you use that phrase as your goal?
Well, I think our mission, the mission of our team, once we've got it all put together here, is really one of customer service. You know, these folks are coming from all different places, and our job is to make sure they have the best experience that they can possibly have. We can't control anything that goes on the court. Obviously, eight teams are coming here, and only two are going to advance out of here. So you've got six teams that are ending their season in Wichita, and this is going to be their lasting memory of the NCAA tournament. So ultimately, that's kind of where we see our job is to make sure that they have as good of experience as they possibly can, and to just make sure that we're helpful and they remember Wichita as being a site that was good for them.
The NCAA is big on branding. They're big on the consistency at all the mm-hmm. sites throughout the tournament. Yep. What's your role in helping with that part of these games?
Just making sure that we're being consistent with what other sites are doing. You know, I think the big joke between us is always the cups on press row and no water bottles, or, you know, and of course this year it's been water bottles with lids or without lids, or, you know, the whole thing. You know, that's manageable, those types of things. Obviously, the NCAA wants a certain product being shown on television, and they want that product to look the same whether you are in Wichita or whether you're in Dayton or whether you're in Dallas. You want that feel to be the same. So there's a lot of things that they have there, you know, drink containers, that type of stuff. Sponsored elements that they have. Obviously, their corporate champions are very valuable to them, and they protect them greatly. They go to great extent to protect those and keep they call them the barnacles on the ship off of the ship from those that want to try to attach themselves to the tournament that have not done the proper diligence in paying for that attachment. There's an element of that. Now, are we going to go tell Jim Nance that he can't have his drink bottle there and, you know, you've got to pour it into a cup? Probably not. But if we can control some of those things that the NCAA likes to see, you know, position of their water coolers or, you know, whatever else it may be that they find important, then yeah, we're gonna take care of that, and that's gonna be pretty high on our priority list.
That is my favorite part of NCAA tournaments, is the sign that says only NCAA approved cups past this point.
You know
it's time
approved.
To get to work, yes. And they will bring in a basketball court for this, right? Am I right
they will,
about
yes.
that? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they do not use the
no,
existing.
No, it will
courts.
Not be the same court that yeah. Is down at Entrust normally. That'll be shipped in, and I think they'll begin putting that down. I think they've got a concert on the 9th at Entrust, and then I think the next morning they'll begin putting the actual court down. And then we'll begin moving some stuff in probably on Monday, a little bit of stuff, and then we'll be full-time down there from Tuesday on. The building kind of changes hands and becomes ours. Sometime Tuesday afternoon, we'll have a walkthrough with the NCAA representative and the NCAA staff member who is here. So we'll walk through and they'll take a look at everything and make sure that it's up to par. And Wednesday morning at 10:20, first press conferences start rolling off, and here we go.
Such a big change, you know, for old people like myself who was at the, you know, the 1981 games that were here in Leavitt Arena, and you look at those pictures and it was Wichita State's court, and mm-hmm. the tournament played out almost, I think, all the way through on college campuses. And it really started to change over the years, and now it is totally a NCAA branded thing.
Each court will look the same, yeah. And then there's transition that happens between the first and second rounds. So between Wednesday and Saturday, or Thursday and Saturday, there'll be a transition there where we'll put down second round decals over the first round, and So there's changes that happen as that evolves even more. So it's interesting.
You teach in the sport management program here at Wichita State. So the things that you're picking up as media coordinator, these experiences, how do you take those to the classroom? How does that add to what you're doing as an instructor at Wichita State?
Well, I think there's two ways. First is direct. Several of our students are going to be working this event, and have solid roles in this event that are going to be there. And then indirectly, just the things that we're learning. You know, I teach a sport public relations class, and I can't think of anything that I have come across as media coordinator for the tournament to this point that I couldn't use in my classroom when teaching that class. Everything from credentialing to the types of things that we'll be generating during the game stats-wise, how all of that is coordinated. It's really going to give, I think, me a lot of opportunity to relate to the students better, tell stories about things as opposed to just reading it in a textbook. You know, you can read the definition of a credential in the textbook, but if you're holding a credential in your hand and you can see what that looks like and understand how that operates, I think it just enhances their knowledge. Ultimately, we are training them to be the types of folks that are going to be conducting these types of events. So I think everything that happens will probably end up going back into the classroom in some form or fashion.
Let's move ahead. It's March 11th, Selection Sunday. Selection show ends at 6 o'clock. You've got pots of coffee ready.
On TBS this year.
On TBS.
Yeah. Don't forget, on TBS this year.
Good tip. All right. So show ends around 6 o'clock. You've got the coffee. You've got your helmet with the flashing red siren on it. You've got your hotel room downtown. You've got a police escort to and from the arena. You're ready to go.
Man, I think we're exaggerating a little now.
All right. Maybe no siren. Selection show ends. What's next for you? What do you immediately begin doing?
We will have the email addresses of all of the SIDs that are potential participants in the tournament. And as soon as we know the teams that are coming here, we'll be firing off emails to them. So as soon as it's announced, we'll be shipping off information, asking for information. We'll need their rosters. We'll need their information, their statistics, and all of that stuff. And we will be shipping information out within minutes of us knowing. So we won't even wait until the entire show's over. It will be once those teams that have popped up on Wichita. And, you know, it could be a thing where we get half of the field early on in the show and then another half later in the show. It just depends upon how all the regions break down and everything, because it could be two different regions or it could be all in one, where those teams are going to end up facing each other on down the line in Omaha or wherever else it is that their regional final site is. So once we know the teams, we're going to start firing off information, start collecting information, and we'll have some phone calls and stuff that night, obviously. And then the next day, we'll get as much done as we can possibly get done that evening. And then most of Monday is going to be spent putting out credential request fires, I would assume, and trying to get all of those team requests in by 5 o'clock.
Yeah, that evening after the selection show is just a mad scramble of people trying to. You got to get flights. You got to, where are you going? Who are you talking to? All those kind of things. That will be a busy time. But it'll be a lot of fun, too. I mean, that will be an adrenaline kick to find out the 8 teams that are coming here. Obviously, there's some, you know, nearby teams. Kansas could be here, you know, Oklahoma, all those kind of things that could be a lot of fun for the people of Wichita to be a part of. It'll be a fabulous weekend and one I think the city's really, really been looking forward to for a long time.
I do too. I think the city has been waiting for this for a while. And so I think that there's an extra level of buzz that is attached to this just because they've waited so long for this. And I think Wichita will respond well.
Since 1994. All right. Well, Mike, we really appreciate your time. Once again, we've had Mike Ross, who is the media coordinator for the NCAA men's basketball first and second round games. They're going to be down at Intrust Bank Arena March 15th and 17th. Mike, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Paul.